I'm Lindsay.
I'm Austin.
And I'm Joe from PopX Cast,
a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network.
Just like the show you're listening to now.
The opinions expressed are those of each individual host.
Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
And get ready, because geekiness begins in
3, 2, 1.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, on this episode number 134 of Better Podcasting, we say farewell to our computers and still podcast.
In this week's Better Podcasting download, we delve into another podcast media host improvement. Those are my favorite.
Finally, in this week's Better Podback, we get some great feedback from last week's topic, plus some chatter on podcast smart speed.
Lauren, start the show now. We all know that you're the best part.
Welcome to Better Podcasting, a show where we talk about podcast tips, tools, and best practices to help you succeed with your podcast. What makes us different? Well, just like you, we podcast purely out of the love and fun of it. Podcasting is our hobby, and we recognize that it's yours too. We always encourage your questions and feedback, and you can find all of our contact information at betterpodcasting.com. Here's your host for the show, Stephen John Drew and Stargate Pioneer.
Welcome to episode 134 of Better Podcasting. I am Stephen John Drew, and with me, of course, is the better dressed Stargate Pioneer.
Of course I'm better dressed, because I got the better polo on today. It's our podcast colors.
Do you want to know something really funny? For those of you who are not familiar, we actually have a video show, by the way, at youtube.com/GunnaGeek, or head on over to betterpodcasting.com. There's a full video show. Last week, we coincidentally came dressed in navy, and today we both came dressed in orange. So very awkward. Apparently, we are stalking each other, but these are the things you miss out on if you don't watch the video side of things. But the good news about you not watching the video side of things is you don't have to see our ugly mugs. But if ever you want a punishment, head on over to betterpodcasting.com and check out the video side. It is a full video produced show. We've got a lot of good stuff to talk about today, and I gotta eat a little bit of crow with this first moment, because last week I made a commitment on Better Podcasting that we were no longer going to talk about Zencastr in the how I could have saved my podcast story, because it's been coming up a lot. But we actually, shortly after recording last week, had a story that we thought was pretty relevant, and it's actually a how I saved my podcast story, and it came from Twitter, and so we did want to go ahead and mention it, just because it's another writing on the wall that I think is worth mentioning before we sort of put the Zencastr stories to bed. SP, go ahead and read this one out.
It was a tweet from our buddy over at the Transmissions podcast, Jeremy T. Dennis. And his Twitter handle, by the way, is at YakODoctorG. That's YAKK0DOTORG. And he says, "Hey, at Better Pod, I have a how I saved my podcast story. It's a good thing we have multiple backup recordings. Zencastr just crashed in the middle of our recording tonight. A little upsetting, but we're not worried at all. Thanks to the backups." Congratulations, Jeremy, for doing the backups. For those that don't recall, by the way, Jeremy sent us in a little video about how to stretch your audio back and forth in order to sync it up, because Zencastr provides the files, the tracks that aren't exactly synced up. So he was showing an easy way to do that. Well, there was no way to even save his podcast that way, because he didn't have the tracks to do it, because Zencastr crashed.
Yeah, and I was on my phone actually when this tweet came in, and I instantly looked and their whole website was down. So the whole service was down. It was giving a, for those of you geeky, it was giving an Nginx error. So you can go ahead and Google that if you don't know what that is, but that's what it was giving. And so yeah, then they tweeted it a couple hours later that they were still having problems. So definitely something we wanted to mention. Now, for those of you who are looking for a Zencastr alternative, you are going to want to stick around for our Better Pod back at the end of the show, because we actually got a comment from a listener who provided us with a suggestion on something else, an alternative to Zencastr. So we'll touch on that towards the end of the show. Now, before we get to talking about doing a podcast without a computer, we actually had a how I could have saved my podcast story that we wanted to talk about this week as well.
We did. We had this lined up already, but the tweet came in, so we had to do it from Jeremy, and we're still going to do this how I could have saved my podcast story. It's another post over on the Reddit, the podcasting subreddit, and its title was basically, I have to admit, something incredibly embarrassing. Yeah. And yes, it is embarrassing, but understandable for any newbie. So we're going to go into what happened here. I have to admit something incredibly embarrassing. I've been recording into the back of my microphone. I started podcasting a few months ago and bought a Blue Yeti. I've struggled ever since the beginning of the audio quality with the audio quality on my podcast, spending lots of times trying to tweak it and working with an audio engineer to improve the sound. It seemed to me that my recording sounded good, but that my editor's output was becoming metallic or harsh or distant. I was thinking, is the Blue Yeti really just a crappy mic that's hyped up too much?
Which, by the way, the answer is yes. Just to clarify that right now.
Yes, we do not advocate using the Blue Yeti if you're going to buy a microphone. If you have it already, maybe try using it, but no, don't go out of your way to get it. Anyway, how is it possible that I can't get good, clean sound? And just yesterday, I realized that I was talking to the back of my mic on the cardioid setting, so there was no way that was picking up good sound. So he turned his mic around to do a recording, and boom, it was like I was in another universe. So I've been podcasting for 5 months now with crappy recordings, which would have been far better if I just read the effing manual. And that's what he wrote in there, by the way, effing manual. It wasn't actually a swear word. It was effing manual. Although, to be fair, when I checked the manual, there is nothing that actually says which is the right direction to use the microphone in. I'm incredibly embarrassed. It's so silly. I kind of don't even want to tell my engineer about it and just start giving him better recordings. So that's the end of the post there. And his name redacted to keep the guilty anonymous. But my thoughts is, okay, so you're new. You don't know what your equipment is. I didn't know what my equipment really could do to start off with. I mean, I turned the bass way up right away, right? So
yeah,
I'm not going to fault him too much, but this is a case where maybe watching a few YouTube videos and reading the manual might help and knowing your equipment. What do you think, Steven?
Absolutely. I think manual is the big key here with any of these microphones. And, you know, in all fairness, it's a common thing. If anybody's bought a Heil PR40 in recent, when I got my PR40, it actually had a paper. I'll call it paper. It's like that more crisp paper wrapped around the capsule saying this is end fire or something like that. And
it's the end fire, talk into the side or whatever.
It absolutely directs you to the right spot. And the reason why is because a lot of people, I'm guessing, got it and tried to use it like a condenser. And definitely with the Yeti, there's a couple different options with how to set it up. So definitely reading the manual helps. With that said, I've had lots of people who have got, I've known lots of people who've gotten Yetis and done the same sort of thing. So definitely reading the manual is a good way to go. And again, I know I took the cheap shot at the Yeti, but the reason why I took the cheap shot is because I think there's better bang for your buck than the Yeti. I think there's far better bang for your buck, including the Audio-Technica ATR-2100, the Samson Q2U, or the Audio-Technica AT-2005. I think that those are a lot better value for a podcaster. And plus, then it's just one direction. It's not the band. The microphone is one direction.
I know you were thinking the band was one direction. By the way, as I said before, we all have made mistakes podcasting, and the most important thing is just to shrug it off and go forth and make great content. That's the big deal there. So it's not like you get hit in football and just rush it off and get up there and go do it. No, this shrug it off. You don't have to worry about, you know, your bruises and putting ice packets on, whatever. Just shrug it off. Maybe have an alcohol or an adult beverage or whatever, and then just forget about it and start making good content with listenable audio.
Absolutely agree. Should we go ahead and move on into the main topic? Should we do that?
I should hope so, and fix your microphone settings before we do, please.
Oh, sorry. I had it backwards. My apologies.
We've always said on Better Podcasting that there are indeed many ways to podcast. There are some ways that turn out better than others, but there is no one, you got to do it this way or else way to podcast. You know, mostly for us, this comes down to podcasting in our climate-controlled home studios using our large diameter broadcast-style dynamic cardioid microphones, a digital audio processor, compressor, a mixer, And is essentially a gaming desktop computer and a dedicated digital audio recorder of some form. For me, it's the Zoom H6. For Steven, it is the Zoom L12, which is a mixer and recorder combined. He's so lucky to have that.
I am very, very lucky to have that.
Right. So these are choices that we have made predominantly to optimize our live video production value with professional sounding audio. So that is what we do. But do you need all this gear? No, heck no, you don't. You can start, as we've said from the beginning of this podcast, like episode zero, all that you need to start podcasting is a handheld USB XLR dynamic microphone like the Samsung Q2U, the Audio-Technica ATR2100, or the Audio-Technica AT2005. So you need this microphone to sound good, but do you need a computer, Steven?
No, you don't need a computer. That's what we're going to talk about today. In fact, I think I said it at the top of the show. Absolutely, a computer will help you record and really produce the audio and makes it a lot simpler. But we're going to go ahead and put that aside for a few minutes as we run down some options in case you find yourself in a situation that you are wanting to do podcasting without even something as advanced as a Chromebook. So let's go ahead and start off with some mobile platforms. We talked about the USB and XLR dynamic microphones. Now, what's really handy about these versatile pieces of machinery is they can be done with USB. Yes, you can use them with USB instead of an XLR. So there are ways that you can convert that USB into a mobile device, whether it is an adapter down to go into your Android phone or to use, I think it's the Lightning Kit camera adapter, I think is what ends up allowing you to use that directly with a Apple device. These are ways that you can use those microphones and record directly into your device, your phone.
If you're lucky enough to still possess that 3.5 millimeter TRRS connector on your mobile device, you can even use the iRig Pre as well. We've talked about it before. Now, the iRig Pro is a little bit more expensive, a little bit better quality because of the digitalness of it, and it can go Lightning and USB. But either way, it is possible to use those basically as an audio interface into your mobile device. And did you know that more and more audio devices and interfaces are becoming natively compliant with mobile platforms? You may have heard, matter of fact, I might have just said it a little while ago, Steven has a Zoom L12 audio mixer. It's a very complex audio mixer. It's got 12 tracks that it can record into separately. It's a combination mixer recorder interface. The Zoom L12 does have a class compliance mode, which in theory makes it capable to connect to an iOS device. Steven has not tried it, have you?
No, I haven't had a chance to try it, but I have read the manual because that's what I did was read the manual. No joke, I did. And allegedly, yeah, you can use it. You can use it to play back audio from the phone or device over into the L12. You can do the reverse as well, where the L12 will mix down into the phone or the iOS device. So this is something I've seen come up in a few different places, this class compliance, and more interfaces are getting that. I have no experience with it, though, because I haven't taken my wife's iPhone yet to try it.
So if you are running a solo show, so it's just you, you're not recording with anybody else, and you don't have a laptop or a desktop computer, PC, anything like that, we absolutely would recommend these ways to record. Now, if you do have a mobile device that's iOS, then you can use these apps, which I'm about to tell you. The one thing that I have found with these apps, and actually I heard this reiterated by Rob Walsh over at Libsyn recently, was put the phone in airplane mode. That will stop any notifications that are coming in, turn off the Wi-Fi, turn off the Bluetooth, make sure there's no communication coming in and out. If it is just you recording, you don't need any of those connections. All you need is for your device to become a recorder. Now, the recorder that I have preferred for years and years and years has been Boss Jock Studio. Now, there has been no update to this app since October of 2016, but I have heard rumors recently that this fall in 2018, it is due for an update, which is good because the link to Dropbox is broken. And like I said, it has basically been unsupported for quite some time. So you can record into this app. You can actually add sound effects and bumps along the way. as you just press a sound card and it actually plays in there. You can actually use faders for it as well. And that just goes straight into the recording. When you're done with the recording, take your phone out of airplane mode and you can upload and publish straight to Libsyn. And by the way, Voices of Defiance audience, yeah, I'm sorry for the three of you that got that test recording that I sent out this week just to make sure that it was still working. Yes, there is three people that actually got a download from Voices of Defiance of me literally saying test. So if you happen to be listening to this and you're a Voices of Defiance fan, I'm sorry, but I was just testing it out. Another recording app that I've heard of recently is the Ferrite Recording Studio. I actually downloaded it. I tried it out. As far as I can tell, it's only a single track for recording, but apparently a lot of people like it because they have not had any dropouts with it. Now, if you do happen to have multiple hosts that are geographically separated and you're trying to record with your iPhone or your iPad, my recommendation, just because I don't know of anything else, is Ringer. Now, this is a paid app for one-on-one conversations. Like you're just doing an interview. It's 799 pennies, but it's, which Canadians don't, you don't have pennies anymore, do you?
We eliminated the penny. Yeah, we round everything, round it up. Unless you're on a credit card purchase, then you're back to basics.
I see. Well, for us Americans, it's $7.99 for that one-on-one. But if you want multiple people to be able to come in on a conference call and then record it, that's $18.99 a month for this conference calling. So basically, since we've been talking about Zencastr so much, I'm just going to say it works kind of like Zencastr. You have local recording, but from iOS and Android as well, the mobile devices themselves, and then it combines into a single track. So Ringer is a way to do it. Now, once you have your actual file, whether it's from BossJock or whether it's from Ringer or Ferrite, whatever recording app you have, you have to edit it, or we advocate editing anyway. So the editor that I really like on iOS, it's called Twisted Wave. I've used it before. You can edit and then you can export the file as an MP3. You can export it to Dropbox, or you can FTP it to your media host, or if you're self-hosting, to your actual web host site as well. And I did actually accomplish this without publishing the episode this time. I used Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Longbox. So the file is still there on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Longbox, but it hasn't been published. So that works as well. I have not used this other editing app called Auria. That's A-U-R-I-A, but I've heard a lot of people recommend it. So if other people are that I actually trust and really respect, if they are saying Auria is something that you can use, yes, this is something you can use. So if you're just using your iOS device to podcast, these are the things that you can do. These are the apps that you can do to actually get the podcast out. Now, do you actually need, if you don't have any gear, do you actually need the microphone that we're saying? No, you can use the microphone on your phone. You can use your actual earbuds microphone, but we would recommend, if possible, to get a hold of one of these microphones to start. But
you forgot other part of it too, by the way. They could just call you up and say, SP, put me on speakerphone and hold me up to your microphone, because that's the other way they could do it as well.
That would work. I would charge by the minute. Yes, in order to do that. Yeah. Now, the Android side of things was really interesting. Yeah. I did drag my Note 3 out and I tried several things with my Note 3, and I don't know if you went through this process too as well, Stephen. But the recording side can be done through a lot of apps. I actually tried Ophonic Edit because that was something that was recommended, so I can attest that works. Now, Stephen, you have used your phone recently with your iRig Pre, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Quite honestly, there's a ton of Android apps available, and they all work relatively similar. There's even one that's made by Sony, and the one that I often go to, because it works with anything that I have hooked up, is the iRig Recorder app. Obviously, if I'm going to be using the iRig Pre device, I should just use the iRig software that's on there. But it is a free app that you can get. There is the basic version, and it works with all sorts of things. So I've used that quite a bit. The other thing as well that you can sometimes use is there are Android apps for like Spreaker, and Podbean even has one that has some basic editing functions. And there's one that's just called Audio Recorder. So it's just really simple, Audio Recorder.
I'm really excited about this editing app, which I found because I did a lot of searching and I wanted to know how to edit podcasts in Android, in the Android architecture or whatever. And I found this app called, or skill, whatever they call it in Android, called Audio Evolution Mobile. It's actually $6.99, worth every penny. It's one-stop shop for recording, editing. You can do multi-track just like you can do in Twisted Wave over on the iOS side. You can export in multiple different formats, including WAV, AIFF, MP3, FLAC. FLAC's really big for us. We really enjoy that. And it is able to export the file then using an FTP manager. And I used an FTP manager called AND FTP. That's capital A, little N, little D, capital F, capital T, capital P. And that was another Skiller app that I downloaded in order to get my file up to Voices Defiance. Again, not published this time. So that was pretty good.
All right, let's move on to the next mobile platform, which is, I'll admit it, it's cheating a little bit. But if I personally was doing, if I was like, Steven, tomorrow you're going to record and you're gonna edit only using mobile tools, I would use a inexpensive Windows tablet. Now, yes, I told you that's cheating a little bit, but let's be honest. If we're going to talk about some of these other mobile platforms like Android and what's that other one? I don't remember that. Anyways, the
iOS.
iOS. Totally forgot about that. If we're going to talk about those, let's talk about the Windows side of things as well, because there are tablets that are as cheap, if not less cheap or less expensive, that are made by Windows. And I actually had this last year. I ended up getting a sub-$100 Windows tablet. And yes, it's garbage. Yes, it absolutely has issues. And yes, it will not even connect to a proper video call. However, it will do basic podcast functions. And that's what a lot of these Windows tablets do, because many of them are running proper versions of Windows. You got to be aware, a lot of the newer ones might be running a version of Windows that's a little bit more limited, but the one that I got was a couple of years old, and I actually used this, and I've able to put Audacity on it. I've got that running. It works just fine. No problem at all. So if I wanted to, I could go in and hook up the microphone and adapt it down everything. I could even use like a Bluetooth connection or something to it if I wanted to. And speaking of Bluetooth, that's actually the second best part of using a Windows tablet, is you can get a wireless keyboard and mouse for inexpensive. I spent like $18 Canadian on a really inexpensive keyboard and about $14.99 Canadian on a Bluetooth mouse. So that means that as I use this inexpensive Windows tablet, I have essentially a full operation from the comfort of a tablet for tablet pricing. Because again, I spent less than $100 on that. Don't tell me your iPad mini didn't cost you more than that. So absolutely, it's an affordable way that you could do that. Now, a lot of these have micro SD cards or some form of expansion, so you can definitely expand. You're going to be limited with how far you can expand, but at least you have that capability and that flexibility to then do what you want with that expansion card if you want to put that somewhere. And because you're running essentially a normal Windows setup, that is the best part. That is really the best part about going this method, is you've got your Audacity, as I mentioned, you've got your regular FTP client, you got Chrome or Firefox or Edge or whatever, and all of those other ways that you usually might on a desktop end up connecting. Like if you do just if you log into your web panel to upload your file, you've got that all right there. And so it is definitely, like I said, a little bit of a cheat compared to what we're talking about. But if we were going to talk about iOS and Android and doing that from a tablet, then we should talk about the potential of getting an inexpensive Windows tablet.
So those are your three mobile smart options to use these days in 2018 to actually podcast with. But it's not the only way you can podcast mobily without a computer. You can use a portable digital recorder. I'm actually holding up in my hand my Zoom H5. I actually have a Zoom H6 ready to go in a bag for panels at conventions. Steven has a Zoom H1. There are the Tascam line of portable recorders as well. The Sound Devices Mix Pre 3 and 6. Those are all mobile portable recorders. You can use these to record. Most of them come with XY microphones. The sound devices don't, but most of them come with XY microphones, the Tascams and the Zooms. So you can use these, but more appropriately, you can plug in XLR sort of microphones. So your Audio-Technica ATR2100, or I prefer when I'm mobile to use the Sennheiser MD46. You can plug that right in and you can get great sound through there. And it's just, it really doesn't matter what microphone you use, because you can use the professional XLR port to go there. Here's the problem. Once you record, how do you get that file from your recorder to a mobile device if it's not...
put it in the mail and send it to SP to download it and then send it to you, right?
And I get paid by the minute for that as well, yes. So, okay, I was like, how can I do this? Well, on an Android device, at least my Note 3, I was able to both plug this recorder in, turn on the USB option to make sure it could read the SD card in there, and I could port it straight in using the same connection that I used for my microphone. You can also take out the SD card, and even if it's a micro SD card insert, you can throw it in the phone and you can load it from there. So from the Android standpoint, it's fine going back and forth. The iOS side, not so much. So just to point out a fact, I actually went out of my way. I actually left my Lightning to USB connector up at the lake. So I went out and bought an additional one that has not only the USB connector, but an SD and micro SD card in it. I've tried it multiple ways. And yeah, no, you still can't import the files to your iOS device in the current configuration of iOS. It will accept photos and movies that you record from a camera. Audio files, it won't. And I think that has something to do with copyright violations with iTunes and the whole music scene as well. But so there's no way to do it. So in order to get around it, you can actually put your card into a laptop and sync it up to your phone or use Wi-Fi. Or there are Wi-Fi SD cards. I didn't even know these existed. There are Wi-Fi SD cards. And you can go into your iOS app, whether that's BossJock Studio, Twisted Wave, and use the Wi-Fi to actually import it into the device. You can also use the Dropbox or the FTP in do it that way, but again, you're going to need some sort of device. And the higher end Tascam recorders like the 44WL and I believe it's the 22WL, they have Wi-Fi as well. I don't have one, so I wasn't able to try it, but I think you can link it up into your iOS device via Wi-Fi. And there are Wi-Fi SD card readers that you can get. I haven't actually seen one in person, but I've seen them online, and that would be another way that you can do it as well. That is a big pain, by the way, to get a file from your portable digital recorder into your iOS device. So I don't know if that's worth it personally. So there are other ways, other things to do here. And basically Android seems to win in my opinion there. So
I believe that was that place that's really hot. It just froze over. Wow, that's crazy. Well,
when I was preparing for this over the past week, you know, I drug out my Note 3, and for the first time in a long time, I actually used it. I think in terms of productivity, if I was just using this, which I don't want to use a mobile device when I'm doing anything, but if our listeners want to, it seems to me right now, Android wins for podcast production, but that's just me. But I have not done the comparison between Android and Windows like you have. And what I'm hearing from you is you like to cheat and you like to use the Windows over the Android.
I absolutely would. Like I said, I'll say it again. Yes, I cheat on Android. But yeah, a lot of the utilities that you find though on Android will work very similarly to how you might see them on a desktop. So like when you are going and you're opening up a Chrome browser or whatever, and you're trying to get that file up onto wherever it needs to go, it operates a lot better than it does on the iOS side of things. So yeah, I would agree. I think that Android's a little bit better than Apple for those sort of things. You know, one thing that some people have been interested in but not really talked about is the potential for using vlogging cameras. SP, I know that you are the expert vlogger, right?
I might not be the expert vlogger, but I've actually watched a lot of sailing YouTube channels, which is basically a vlog. And so what they're doing is they're not recording necessarily into a digital audio recorder unless they're doing voiceover work, because then they will. But when they're just doing their normal actual segments that they're talking into the camera, or they're going around, walking around, or they're sailing or whatever, they're taking how-to videos, they're actually talking into the camera using the camera's microphone. Most of them have some sort of shotgun microphone on their vlogging camera, you know, one of those little Rode Go microphones or something like that. Here's the thing, if you want to use it for podcasting, and podcasting is not video necessarily, at least not the way we subscribe to do it. So if you're just doing audio, using a vlogging camera can get a little expensive unless you have the equipment to begin with. And not all vlogging cameras have the ability to insert that additional good sound, whether it's from a portable digital recorder or a vlogging microphone like those Rode microphones. Not all of them have that 3.5 millimeter input jack. Mine actually does, but others don't. And then when you're done with that, you still have the same issue of exporting that audio into a mobile device. And if it's an iOS device, you might be in a little trouble with that. So I'm not sure, I didn't test this, but I'm not sure if like Twisted Wave or Boss Jock can actually take an MOV file, like a movie file or an MP4 file, and actually play it in the audio editor. I'm not sure. I know Audacity can do that, so Windows tablet wins there, but I'm not so sure about the others. So vlogging cameras, it's going to be more expensive. You're going to run into the same issues. And if you're just doing audio, make it simple on yourself and just do audio.
So summary, we honestly don't recommend this method. We think that it's still a few years off. And that's because it's really a drastically reduced experience. Time is money. People say that all the time. And even if you're not making money off your podcast, it's your valuable time that you're spending extra time, extra hours, extra minutes working in a more confined space. So absolutely, we recommend that you use a desktop or a laptop instead. But you might find yourself occasionally in the situation or you just want to get creative. And so hopefully this will give you a bit of a head start on how to do that. So it's definitely possible to do it. We just don't recommend doing that full time. Again, the fastest way is just to send all of your stuff to SP and make him do it.
What's more important is I know we have people in our audience that podcast differently than we do. And I know some of them do it from a mobile application. So I really want to hear from them. I want to hear from you. I want to hear from you and I want to hear how you do it. And I want to hear how successful you are doing it and how difficult it is for you and whether you would prefer to actually do it using a desktop or a laptop, or if you just want to go slim and thin and just go with the mobile devices. So please get in touch with us at BetterPod on Twitter, email us podcast@betterpodcasting.com, or catch Steven on our Facebook page. That's Better Podcasting on the Facebook, and let us know how you do your mobile podcasting.
All right, well, let's go ahead and get to our Better Podcasting download before we talk about that Zencaster-like alternative.
Welcome to this week's Better Podcasting Download.
Guess who's back? Pinecast back.
Woo! Your favorite new hosting company.
All right. Pinecast had a bit of an update this past week. If you're not familiar with Pinecast, Pinecast is somebody who has been trying to get into the media host side of things for a while now. They've been around, I think, for a year or two, and we've done a little bit of experiment with them. There's still a couple of things that we'd like to see change, but they've got a lot of promise in them. Well, this past week, they ended up releasing the new analytics dashboard. They actually ended up messaging me ahead of time. It was just because I was in a chat with them. But yeah, they messaged us and then we made it happen that they publicly released that. That's the story I'm going to spin on this. And they posted on Reddit. They posted everywhere talking about the podcast analytics dashboard change. SP, what did they say?
Hi, all. We've released a big update this weekend to our analytics dashboard. This is the set of charts at the top of every podcast, episode, and network dashboard. This new version comes with some market improvements, and we hope that it helps you to better understand your analytics. Built with our new UI toolkit, Common, which is fast, accessible, and looks great on all devices. Pie charts are out, and bar charts are in. This makes it easier to understand the data being presented and is far easier to read for users with color blindness and other disabilities. Ooh, that's good. Charts now work much more smoothly on mobile devices. Huh, well, that's interesting, seeing as we just talked about mobile devices. Episodes and networks can now also access the Listens by Agent view. So if you're monetizing or working with a network, this is actually advantageous. We'll remember which view timeframe and granularity you last chose. We'll also remember whether you've disabled episode balloons. Interesting. It basically remembers where you stopped playing before. And charts are now rendered using the better settings for improved legibility. Access labels now use a font that's easier to read. That is six good things, guys. If you have any feedback, please don't hesitate to reach out here or through the in-app chat. Be sure to stay tuned for some more big launches in the works in the coming weeks.
So definitely this is something that it was overdue. That was one of the comments that I had, was that this was lacking a little bit in the Pinecast side of things. I actually got into my Pinecast account to take a look around, and I gotta say the stats are fast, especially the overview stats, not the per episode ones, but they were darn fast, faster than most providers that I've had experience with. So they just were right there quick. And what's nice is that with a lot of these here, they do change based off of the same page. Some of the other providers, you actually have to go in and click and it loads a whole new page, which then shows you whatever you're trying to pull up. With this, it's all within the same page, which makes it a little bit faster. Yes, the individual stats did end up being a little bit longer, but they still were fairly fast overall. I was pretty impressed with the visual change as well. I have to say it looks a lot more modern. It looks a lot cleaner. And yes, those line graphs are good. There's a couple of areas that you might want to see a little bit of differences. So you'll see like sort of stacked lines, and they give you the option to toggle on whether they're sort of filled in with a solid color or not, which makes it a lot easier. Some people just want to see the lines and some people want to see that filled in. So they're really making it a lot more flexible. And if you want to export these stat points in a CSV file so that you can take it into Excel, when there is a CSV generation possibility, I was impressed with how quickly it started to save once I hit export on it. Overall, I thought that it's a much better experience from a stats perspective. I am still waiting for them to unlock the pro stats, though, because I think that that's still a lacking part. For example, the listener location or the top episodes is considered a pro stat, which means you got to get into the $50 a month level. Allegedly, they've actually said that they're going to be trying to release an option to get these pro statistics, but not at a pro price. And I think that that's really important, because as somebody who would want to be able to recommend a certain podcast company, I would want to be able to tell my audience that they don't have to spend $50 a month on stats to get the same comparable stats that other companies like Libsyn do for a lot less.
Yeah, Pinecast has been forging forward. I still can't recommend them yet. I am still waiting for them to change a couple of things before I actually recommend them, but they're getting pretty close. So I'm enjoying all of the improvements that they've been making and really applaud their movement forward. This is not me saying, no, never use this. You know, it's not a SoundCloud. I don't recommend it now, but in the future, they're making some interesting changes, and I think it might be viable in the future. So stay tuned for more information.
We also had we'll say a throwback to Apple Podcasts from last week. We talked about Apple Podcasts last week, and we got a little more information from Apple Podcasts that we thought we'd throw in this week's download.
Yeah, last week I actually said on the podcast, remember back to April 2017, Apple Podcasts said that they had 400,000 active shows in their databases. Well, WWDC came out. They had a keynote, and in the keynote, they basically said that Apple Podcasts now hosts more than 550,000 active shows. So in the past year and a little bit, so year and couple months, they've grown by 150,000 shows. Wow. So if you're thinking about starting a podcast, I would start it now, because if you wait too long, there's going to be like a million shows on Apple Podcasts pretty soon.
I got to say, it's not actually really exciting news, because how much difference did you say it was?
150,000
year. Considering 140,000 of those are your shows, it's not that much growth.
Well, you know, you have to spoof the stats somehow. So that's true. You know, line the SP pockets, and I was able to go out and start a few additional shows to pad their stats. No. Not at all. This is indicative of the fact that not only corporations and individuals, but everybody that wants to get their voice out is actually starting a show. I hear over on Reddit, I see all the time, I want to start a movie podcast. I want to talk about pop culture. I want us to talk about movies. I want to talk about gaming. Yeah, that's great. It's a great way to learn how to podcast. If your expectations on starting a podcast like that are that you're going to be the next Kevin, whoever, you're not going to be there. It's going to take you a long time. And I would definitely advocate starting, learning how to podcast that way, and eventually finding a niche that a lot of people are going to enjoy. So just take it one day at a time. Enjoy, have fun podcasting. We have fun podcasting. I would advocate you have fun podcasting. But just note, there's a heck of a lot of competition out there now. And it's not just quality, it's notability and it's promotion. And that takes a lot of money. It takes some time. So just have fun with your podcast and then just take it one episode at a time.
I got to say, I can't believe you remembered the infamous Kevin's last name. Like, how can you forget that it's Kevin Bacon, the famous podcaster? Can't believe that. Wow.
Everybody is one step removed from Kevin Bacon.
Absolutely.
In podcasting.
Well, get yourself some bacon while we talk about the Better Pop. There, that's not a segue. Wait a minute. We're going to talk about Lake County. And if you go to the lake, you might have a campfire. And then you might cook some bacon on the campfire. There we go. There's the turnaround. Go ahead, SP.
Have you ever tried to cook bacon on a campfire?
It sucks. It is terrible. The worst.
It is indeed. We did get a tweet, though, from @letsgrow_lake_co or Lake County. And they said, wanted to say many thanks to you both again. Dropped our second full episode and a PSA this week after laptop and internet failure. Grr. I feel your pain, ladies. Interview with our sheriff and a festival episode recorded. Thanks so much. I still have questions. Just trying to catch up first. This leads back to the wonderful email that we received from these ladies, really thanking us for enabling them to start their small rural podcast about their lake community in northern Michigan. And I was very jealous of it. So I applaud them from keeping foraging on and making the next episode. And since I switched computers, it actually didn't follow me from computer to computer. So with this reminder, I will download your next episode and I will listen to it next week. So thank you very much, ladies. We really appreciate it.
Also on Twitter, we had DX Ferris tweet us saying, left a 3-star review for a podcast. If you're going to spend 10 minutes talking about what a hip computer professional you are, because you can tell a show is using a fake messaging app, then maybe use the Google to answer some of your questions before you record. This one here I really wanted to put in here because it's interesting when we do get a tweet. This happens to us occasionally. We get a CC from somebody who's got beef with a certain podcast that they're listening to. And yeah, I thought there was a couple really interesting things in here. Number one, the fact that what made DX Ferris a little bit upset was that they were talking for 10 minutes about how they were a hip computer professional. And then the second part of that was the fact that apparently this podcast must have been talking about things that they could have easily Googled. You know, we do a live show here on Better Podcasting, and there are times that we say something that we start going down a rabbit hole. Maybe we say something off the cusp and then realize, oh, wait, we don't have the follow-up on that. And so we might have to do a quick search. Well, we try to edit that out. And I think that that's one of the big keys on why we recommend editing is because you can remove that stuff off. I don't want to sit there and hear 10 minutes of Google. I will say there's times that shows do this as a shtick. I think that that's really funny. I think that some shows do that well. But most of the time when you're actually just authentically Googling because you don't know, it's hard for a listener to hear.
So fun fact, when Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. episode 242 airs, so we're recording this on Wednesday, June 6th. So I will release that episode of Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. either tonight or tomorrow. There is a large portion of that podcast that I took out where Lauren was like, ooh, I have to search. And there was a bunch of, you know, keystrokes. There was a bunch of, I was like, no, that's out. I'm not dealing that with our listener. I'm not encumbering our listener with that time because there was no value added. So I took that out. And I think that was for the best for everybody involved, including Lauren.
So thanks very much for messaging us on this here. Because again, I think that it's a really interesting piece of feedback for podcasters to listen to on what annoyed you. Of course, we don't want everybody just to send their gripes to us. But if you want to, you can definitely do that. We also had on Twitter, @BandrewSays, say, I listen using smart speed, so SJ is normally 1.5 to 1.75 times I use @OvercastFM. So that was a follow-up to how everybody apparently listens to me very fast, because then I sound like I'm on speed or something.
Fun fact, today at the gym, I was listening to Better Podcasting episode number 133 at 1.5 times speed, and it got to the end where you slowed down and it actually sounded normal. So well done, sir. Well done.
I gotta admit, I was over the moon when I edited that, because I did it. I sped it up and I was like, hey, it works. I was a total guess. So yes, that's my highlight of the year. I might as well stop podcasting now. It's probably the highlight of my podcasting. There you go.
You just need an award for that. Maybe an entrance into the Hall of Fame, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of the Hall of Fame, let's talk to Hall of Fame inductee. Well, we're not talking to him. He's talking to us. Dave Jackson, who went over to betterpodcasting.com after our last episode, and we talked about the ongoing Zencastr problems, and he actually left us a great piece of feedback over there. He said, I've used squadcast.fm about 9 times now, and I've not had a problem. I do like that there is a small video of your guest. I don't know that you can have as many people on at the same time, up to 4 people, but on the other hand, it works. I'm with you. I've heard enough people complain about Zencastr that I'm starting to think there must be something there. I only have one client alone who uses it to record herself solo, brackets don't ask, and it works fine for that. And you know what? I think that that's a great comment there about how it is working fine for solo. When you think about it, as soon as you start to interact with multiple people, you have a lot more involved, even using Skype. You see a big difference as you add more people or as you add videos. So it makes sense. If the software is recording a bunch of people individually, of course, there's going to be more chance for something to go wrong. The big flag that I definitely had, though, with the Zencastr thing was the message we got last week about just the site going down. That's a problem.
That is a problem. Although what Dave has done here is he has provided us with an alternative, which we asked for last episode, squadcast.fm. Really appreciate that. If you, listener, have used something like squadcast.fm, like TriCast, as I said last time, Zoom recorder, not the Zoom portable recorder. There's actually a service called Zoom that records. If you use something like that, and if it works for you, we want to hear about it, because what we don't want to hear about anymore is Zencastr, because we know that doesn't work. So we want to actually get something that does work out to everybody else. So we will endeavor not to give any more Zencastr stories unless they are really tragic.
Yeah. And I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of them. So
there's going to be a few.
Thanks everybody who chimed in on that. And if you have a Zencastr alternative, please do get in touch with us, like Dave Jackson, or do I have to call him inductee Dave Jackson now? Is there a requirement?
I think it's still the Dave Jackson.
Or is it the inductee Dave Jackson? Wow, I said David Jackson. I just really blew that one.
Well, he goes by both, so that's okay. I think actually he prefers David, but everybody calls him Dave. So I think you have to go the Podcasters Hall of Fame inductee Dave Jackson. I think you have to say it that way.
Esquire.
Esquire. And one doesn't talk to the Dave Jackson anymore. One waits for the Dave Jackson to talk to you.
So seriously, though, if you have a suggestion, please get in touch with us through any of the ways. You can always head on over to betterpodcasting.com like Dave did, or you can head on over to your email and send us an email to podcast@betterpodcasting.com. Tweet us at BetterPod or head over to facebook.com/BetterPodcasting. You can always join us live when we record this as well, which is usually Wednesdays at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. That's 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific Time at www.geeks.live. And while you're over there, go to Gonna Geek, the rest of the Gonna Geek page. It's GonnaGeekNetwork.com, and check out some of the amazing geeky content that is there. We have a lot of different geeky podcasts, and we have a lot of fun for geeks to have at GonnaGeekNetwork.com. So check that out. In the chat this week, I'll give a couple of special shout outs. Number one, we had Zeth.
That's a combination of Xandex and Zeth. Yeah, that's really good.
We had Seth say, would the drinking game include letters from Johnny Pennington? Yes, apparently the chat is making a Better Podcasting drinking game, to which I said, no. We don't encourage alcoholism. And Emily Prokop said, water. All Better Podcasting drinking games are to be played with water, just not near mixers, microphones, or other podcasting hardware, which I think is sound advice. And yes, I will admit that my Zoom L12 is raised for that very fear.
So, full disclosure, there was the Great Flood SJ of 2017 in SJ Studio. There was also the Great Flood SP Studio 2017. So we have waterproofed most of our studios, as I'm looking down at my desktop right now. And that is important. By the way, they were talking about the drinking game being anytime we mention something like Blab, Zencaster, SoundCloud, you know, all our hot topics. And they actually recommended a bingo game. I think for the next actual, well, whenever we get around to it, maybe not next, but we actually hand out different bingo cards with all that, and the ones in the live chat would actually win something.
Why not?
Maybe a shout out. I'll let you make it happen.
By the way, we should mention before we wrap up that SP and I, this is 3 days in a row that you and I have podcast together. Isn't that right?
That's amazing. It's been a 3 great days. We did the Gonna Geek podcast. We're doing this podcast 2 days later on Better Podcasting. Oh, yesterday we did a joint guest appearance on an ed tech podcast called TeacherCast.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. If you want to check that out, you can go to geeks.link/TeacherCast. That was a fun co-appearance by SP and I. SP was basically the king of the podcast, as he usually is. And I was just his lackey. I was his yes man. I was just like, yeah, you go, SP, you go.
As I recall, you said several times, Gonna Geek and Better Podcasting starring Stephen John Drew. So you said that in the... You know what? People need to go over to geeks.link/TeacherCast and listen to us talk to Jeff Bradbury. Actually, Jeff talks to us because, you know, he's the host. And that was an enjoyable podcast because we just got to sit there and actually, you know, talk. We didn't have to do any prep or anything. We just had to show up. There was no editing, no production afterwards. It was fun. So if you want to check that out, once again, go to geeks.link/TeacherCast.
Awesome. So there you go. For episode number 134. Of Better Podcasting. I gotta Google this. I'm Stephen John Drew saying thanks for watching.
And I'm SP saying thanks for coming by. We'll see you next week. Let us know what you want to think about bingo.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Better Podcasting. We want to hear from you. You can find all of our contact information at betterpodcasting.com. If you like the show, please consider giving us a 5-star review in iTunes. We encourage you to check out all of the other geeky podcasts available at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. This has been a Gunna Geek production. Thanks for listening, and we will see you again next week.